Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name's Patricia King. I have a question to ask you. Have you ever wondered what would happen to you when you take your last breath on earth? What happens in the next moment? Where do you go and how do you get there? Well, today we have a very special guest on our show, Kat Kerr, who has authored two books, Revealing Heaven Part 1 and Revealing Heaven 2. And she has amazing insight. Why? Because she's been to heaven many, many times. So, Kat Kerr, it's wonderful to have you back on our program again.
Thank you.
And I so love the way that you express Jesus and are so freely sharing the things that he's shown you. But today, I just want to read part of chapter 2 in your first book, Revealing Heaven, an eyewitness account. Mm-hmm. And in our last program, we did share that when you have these encounters in the heavens, they are real encounters. They're not a vision. They're not a glimpse that the Holy Spirit gives you into it. It's like you're really there. It's like 3D, 4D.
Yes.
It's like everything is vivid, audible, visual. It's right as real as we're sitting here.
That's right.
So I just wanted to, you know, reestablish that for our viewers. But it says, this chapter, and we're talking about chapter 2 of your book, will explain what happens to someone from the second they die mm-hmm. and their spirit leaves the body and earth can no longer hold them. First, we will discuss what happens to someone who has accepted Jesus mm-hmm. as their Savior and will be going to heaven. Then, we will discuss what happens to someone who rejected Christ and is headed for hell.
That's right.
And so, share with me the insights that God's given you on this.
Well, really, it totally removes the fear of death when you know what you're going to experience. And that's the whole purpose of this revelation that the Father gave so that everyone would know. Mm-hmm. You will go somewhere when you die. And actually what the Father told me is whoever you belong to, whoever owns you, will come for you. You don't have to find a way to cross over or get there yourself. But no matter how somebody died, whether it was in an accident or was just from old age, maybe even some horrific type of death happened to them.
Right.
If they're a believer, the very second they took that last breath and their spiritual body stepped out of their physical body, because you're not just a little spiritual being, a wispy thing, you actually
right.
have a real spiritual body
right.
that looks like you, you are stepping into the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
You are engulfed by his presence, by his love. It isn't just when you get to heaven, it's waiting on you to step out of your body. For the first time, see your guardian angels who are beckoning you to come with them.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably see family members if they're present. You can still hear them.
Right.
And actually, some people are quite surprised that they're dead because they can still feel their self. You know,
mm-hmm.
they have an awareness of everything. You know,
right.
they can still experience life because your spiritual being is not dead. Your body, this earth suit that we wear right,
right
now, it's died. And until Resurrection Day, you will not have that body back. But you're entering into the one of the most exciting realms you'll ever live in
mm-hmm.
called heaven. You'll be escorted outside by your guardian angels. You're picked up either by a chariot or a transport. I've seen both of them pick you up. Now I'm talking about if you're going to go and stay, not a near-death experience where you're sent back. Sometimes it wasn't
mm-hmm.
your time. If you're going home to heaven to live, then they will come and pick you up and take you there either in a transport or a chariot. And I actually,
what do you mean in a transport or a chariot? Do you mean like a truck?
No. they call them transports, mm-hmm. and these are ships from heaven. They look sort of like, I haven't even used the term, like a cable car
mm-hmm.
without any cables on it. It does have a depth and dimension, usually like maybe an oval-shaped type vehicle. It has these brilliant blue-white lights that come up from the bottom of it as it ascends down from heaven. It's made out of, I call it a burnished pewter. I don't really know how to describe that color. But halfway up of this ship, you can see out everywhere, no matter where you go, as you stream through the universe on the way home to heaven.
Wow.
And normally the people who pilot these are not angels. Sometimes they are. But usually God gives that as an assignment to somebody who is either in long-distance transport
this
or they were a
so
tour guide.
Fun.
Because you use the gifts God gave you when you go home to heaven. And so heaven's pilots are usually a
this
redeemed
is
believer.
So much fun.
Isn't
you know,
that
my,
fun?
My husband worked in the transport industry for years.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, when we were in a time of renewal, I was up having, you know, a time of worship, and the guest speaker was ministering, and I could actually feel that something was happening in the mm-hmm. spirit. You know, you could just feel that something supernatural was about to happen. And I could feel the presence of angels. And the speaker all of a sudden said, just a minute, I'm going to stop the meeting because there's angels in the room right now. And I thought, oh, this is exciting. And I know I felt that too. And he said, if you felt the presence of angels, come forward. So I went forward along with many others. And he said, okay, angels, just do whatever you were sent to do. Mm-hmm. And he just stood back and let God have his way. Well, at that time, I actually had a spiritual encounter where I was taken into a chariot. Now, I never saw the chariot, mm-hmm. but I could actually feel it. Now, this was in the spirit. Mm-hmm. I was still physically standing. My physical body was in the room. But in the spirit, I could actually feel a physical sensation of sitting on the seat yes. in the chariot. And it was like angels were in front of it, pulling it. It was mm-hmm. like they were the engine of it or something. Uh-huh. And they were taking me in and out and around. I could feel breeze going through over my face. Yes. I could feel the speed of it. I could feel the exhilaration of it. Mm-hmm. And after a while, they took me back in the room and then I was back in a conscious state of in the realm of time. Mm-hmm. And I asked the Lord, I thought, wow, like what was that all about? It caught me off guard. I'd never premeditated anything like that, thinking, mm-hmm. well, maybe I'll decide to go on a chariot ride. I never yes. even knew it was possible. mm-hmm. And the Father spoke to me and he said, I just wanted you to have fun. That's and right. all of a sudden, this revelation opened up to me that in the heavenly dimension, that there was this joy that was childlike. And Jesus said, you cannot enter the kingdom except you come as a child, that's in right. childlike faith, in childlikeness. And so here I was having fun with Daddy, mm-hmm. but these angels were pulling them. So mm-hmm. years later, when I wrote our book, Heavenly City, Adventures with the King, for the younger generation, I put in storybook form this encounter about the chariot. Oh, so I put a chariot in the book just... Mm-hmm. you know, just to make it exciting for the children. Mm-hmm. And the chariot rider, I put as a character, my husband, we called him Speed because my yes. husband in the natural likes to speed. He likes mm-hmm. the, you know, heavy pedal. And so we just did it for fun. But I said to Ron, I said, you know what, honey, I bet you when you depart from here and go to heaven, I bet you anything, you'll be a chariot driver.
Yes, probably.
You know, that was, but it's so fun to hear you say this mm-hmm. now.
Yes.
Have you ever been in a chariot or one of these transports?
I've been in chariots before. I've seen many transports come to earth, pick up people, and then I've also been in heaven when they arrived at the place where they have a land. It's like a landing area where they come and the people disembark out of them.
And do a whole bunch of people go in a transport at the same time? Like, do they pick up a whole bunch of people?
They can, yes, and they're larger. So there's many different sizes wow. and actually different styles because... they're actually made to suit the person who's the pilot.
Wow.
And sometimes even in their favorite color. So, I mean, God is unlimited in his ability to just bless you all the time. And this is their greatest desire. They love, I know of a person who passed away, and I didn't know what he had did as a living down here, but I knew he was going to be one of heaven's pilots. I actually saw the uniform. They wore these amazing uniforms that God had ready for them, had their name, had their first name on it, and they were designing a transport that was going to be navy blue and gold. And had this amazing seat in it, different from other ones I had seen before. And I thought, well, that's strange. And he said, go and share this story with his granddaughter. So I started sharing this story with his granddaughter, and she was overwhelmed. She said, my grandfather was in long-distance transport, and then he was a tour guide. And she said he loved having captive audiences to tell funny stories and jokes to. But when he was in long-distance transport, he hated it because he had to have his hips replaced because the seat was so uncomfortable. So wow. here's the reason for this amazing chair. Not that you would need it, but he just gave it to him because of that.
Wow.
And she said, I know he's enjoying taking people back and forth to heaven. So that one was made especially for him because wow. he was going to be one of heaven's pilots.
I just feel right now, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will allow me to feel different pulls from our viewing audience. Sometimes it's a pull of faith and excitement, and sometimes it's a pull of skepticism. And right now, I'm sensing that there's a few of you that are thinking, oh, that's a bunch of hogwash. How can they say that? You know, what's that got to do about anything? How could that possibly be? Mm-hmm. And I just want to invite you, you know, keep your heart open. Like, you don't have to believe any of this. We want you to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We want you to believe the truth about Jesus in the Word. But the word, if you'll study it out, it has lots to say about different transports. For example, chariots are actually in the Bible. You know, they're actually described in the Bible, the way they transport in the realm of the spirit, but come into the earthly realm. And so just, you know, if you don't like some of the things that are said, that's okay. You don't have to like it, but remain open. Remain open because the Lord might want to be sharing some insights with you. And, you know, as we're hearing Kat's testimony, I've heard many such testimonies from many people who have visited heaven that have never even met her. I have heard testimony after testimony. Even when I was nursing, before I ever became a Christian, I worked on a cardiovascular ward, and I used to nurse dying patients. In fact, we would have cardiac arrests all the time. I worked on a specialized unit. And so we would, through medical means, bring people back to life.
Yes.
You know, we would do cardiac massage and you know, just paddle them and, you know, bring them back to life. And afterwards, and I was not a Christian at this time, and I would ask the people, what happened to you during the time that you had physically died, your heartbeat had stopped, your everything was shut down, between that and the time that we brought you back, what happened? And many of them would describe after-death experiences where they were in the room looking at their own body, looking at the people. They were watching us resuscitate them. And, you know, some of them even mentioned about chariots, angels, and things that they had seen. So I just love this, you know, because a childlike heart will love things like this.
That's
and of course,
right.
We always weigh them up against the Word. You know, the Word is our final plumb line, but it's wonderful. I love this. So you've been in chariots, you've seen different kinds of the transports. What other means of transport are there when people are departing from the earth and they're being taken to heaven? I've seen people escorted by angels just walking with angels.
That happens a lot in near-death experiences. Sometimes angels will catch you up. Sometimes people are caught up through portals. They're actually all around the earth that are used as passageways into the heavenly realm. And then many times they're sent back. It's not their time, but they experience many things in heaven. But if you're gonna die and go home to heaven and stay, it's always something a literal form of transport that they'll come and take you to heaven. Sometimes the Lord will come and get you in His own chariot, and that one has flames of fire on it. Even the horses have flames on them. If you really poured out your life for Him and love people for Him, many times He'll come and get you Himself. And you're carried up literally through the outer space, through all of, by the planets, the nebulas, the beautiful things God put out there for us to see. Then you begin to approach heaven, which is a spiritual world. It's not a physical world. The brightest thing you'll see in your life ever in the sky. Angels pour out of heaven to greet you, to come home.
Is it like a planet?
It is actually a plan, and actually the father told me this. He said, when my son stood before the Sanhedrin court, this is what he said, I am not of this world. Now, a lot of people say, I am not of this world, but he actually didn't say that. He said, I am not of this world. He was from the world called heaven, and God said, my house is the world called heaven. Wow. So there's plenty of room for mansions up there. It's not like he has a building that's his house. You know, all of heaven, the heavenly atmosphere and the celestial realm, that all belongs to God. Actually, the word says the heavens and the highest heavens belong to God.
Amen. And so then after they get there, then what happens?
Well, when you disembark off of this, you're overwhelmed by just being in heaven and seeing the glory and the wonder. Even before you get to the gate, there's just angels everywhere. A lot of your family members actually don't even wait at the gate. They run through the gate to greet you. There's this amazing river of life that flows out through the streets, down the streets of gold. The whole gold thing is like it's transparent because it reflects the glory of God just comes off of that. And you're standing there looking at yourself like, is this real? I mean, because you can still feel yourself. You have usually a beautiful gown on that God's given you.
I loved reading about your description in your book on the streets of gold because I've seen that too. It's like it's so pure. You can see through it.
You can see through it. And you're actually breathing in the atmosphere of heaven. And actually, I can say love has an aroma.
Yes.
You have the aroma of heaven,
yes.
The incense of heaven and of love just penetrating your being. And you're just looking at everything. The sky is beautiful in heaven. It doesn't ever get dark, but sometimes God gives you light shows with different colors just streaming across the sky. And you're seeing many different types of angelic beings. And there's your family yelling at you. They're so excited to see you that you've come home. And this is the biggest thing. You feel like you're home.
Right.
So it's not like I've left my home on earth. I've finally come home. You really feel like you're home, and people are jump into the river of life and just want to splash out on themselves.
Wow.
And it's amazing. You get in it and you're all wet, but when you step out, you're totally dry. I mean, it is a supernatural place that you're going to.
And then do they stand before the throne at some point? Or?
Yes, once you've made it up there, because everyone's greeting you, and there's Father Abraham who greets you when you get home to heaven. He's big, he's broad-chested, and he has this big belly laugh, and he'll just hold you with a bear hug, and he's so excited to see you come home to heaven. And eventually you'll make it into the throne room. Now, if you had an intimate relationship with the Lord already, I mean, had his heart, knew his heart, was living like a real believer, then he will come and get you himself and escort you into the throne room. The people are like a sea of people. The throne is in the middle of the throne room, not on the back wall. There's four steps going up. The throne is high and lifted up so you see the Father and the Son no matter where you are in there. The seraphim are dipping down out of the glory cloud. They have fire coming out of their heads. It's an amazing thing to walk into the throne room for the first time, and you're just awestruck at the beauty, the wonder, and the unspeakable glory that's just emanating from the Father. And Jesus' greatest pleasure is to bring you back to the Father. You walk up the steps. Everyone is so excited to see you. They all know your first name because you know what? We're actually a family in heaven.
Right.
We're all like a big family. And so you're surprised that people are calling you by name and they're reaching out and touching you to greet you. And then he takes you back to the Father, and you're standing there just looking in the face of love, and he'll hold you in his arms and turn around and say, look, my son, my daughter, they've come home. And then he'll begin to say some of the things you did for your life for him on earth. And many times at that point, he'll give you these beautiful medallions and a gorgeous robe that he puts on you. And every time you portray the heart of the Father or love people for him, they actually embellish it with gemstones. So you're standing here, you feel like a king or a queen before the living God. And then everyone in the throne room begins to dance and celebrate that you've come home to be with the Father and to be with them.
Wow.
And I know people miss their family members and love them, but you know what? They're with the one who loves them more than anything. And if you ever get a glimpse of the Father, you're never going to want to live apart from them.
And when we're in the Lord, we're all together.
Yes.
We are one family.
We are one family.
We're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we're going to hear more about what heaven is like, and we're also going to discover a little bit about what hell is like. We'll be right back.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
Journey through the mystery of the kingdom and experience the tangible glory of heaven. The Glory School unpacks new creation realities, hearing the voice of God, third heaven visitation, and much more. Visit xpministries.com to purchase the Glory School now.
Have questions about heaven? Get answers in We Saw Heaven. Four eyewitness accounts compiled by Robert Slairden. Discover the love of God anew through these breathtaking visitations to heaven and back. Visit us online at xpministries.com.
You know, the scripture says that right now we see through a mirror dimly, but, you know, eventually we're going to see him face to face. And I just long for that. To see the fullness of who he is, and to know that you never have to depart from that fullness. It's so amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We don't like to talk about this subject, but Jesus did. Mm-hmm. And that makes it really important. If he saw that it was important to be preached. We need to talk about it. And you did, as well as seeing the throne room and people departing to be with the Lord. You have also been shown hell, too.
Yes, I have.
Can you share any insights with us on that?
Well, I was glad they only took me once. But let me tell you, once is enough. And you would not want your worst enemy to go there. It's just a really horrific place. People don't know what fear is until they enter into the realm of hell and evil. And people, you know, that we all know that that Satan is evil, but he's far more evil than even our minds could imagine. And really, God doesn't want anyone to go there. He didn't design hell for people. It said he designed it for the devil and the demons, the fallen angels, mm-hmm. and that was going to be their abode.
But the devil and his followers.
That's right, his followers. Yeah. His followers. And this is it. You choose where you're going to go. God does not force you to go to hell. But you know what? I've been to heaven, and the holiness is actually tangible. And sin could not enter into that holy place. It just can't enter in. And so you cannot have sin in you. You must receive the blood sacrifice. And God makes so many opportunities for people to receive that. It's freely given, but you have to choose it. And one time I was told, we're going to show you hell. He actually warned me about that. And I was glad that I know some people have actually experienced the feel of the flames. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to do that, but it was so real, so literally real. I really was taken there.
What did you see there?
I saw absolute darkness in the beginning, and even the demonic, the darkness, some of them hide in the darkness. I felt the darkness, and even evil. And Satan also has an aroma. I smell things in the spirit realm, not just see them. And it was putrid. It was almost like I wanted to just vomit, entering into that realm because of the stench of hate, of evil. And then also the sulfur. I smelled sulfur really strong. I heard people screaming, unbelievable screams.
I've heard many people who have been taken into hell share that same thing. The torment and the screams were unbearable.
Yes. And even though the fear didn't penetrate me, I felt the fear that the people were having. And it was unbelievable that even though there's not enough demons in hell to have torment everybody every second they're there, but they always going to come back. And they know, I mean, literally they will bite chunks out of you, like eat your being. And you feel every bit of it because your spiritual body is in a spiritual world. Right. And just like the pleasures and the love you feel in heaven, you experience every bit of the torment. And it will happen over and over again to you. There's no escape. You know there's no escape. Mm-hmm. And so they use fear a lot. I did see a lot of places with pits with horrible flames coming out of them. But I saw things like they were entombed, literally entombed some people in a rock inside, like, and there wasn't enough space to really sit and your body experiences in hell, starvation, dehydration. It experiences exhaustion, but there's no food, no water, no rest for your body. And if you should try to sit or lay in these sepulchers, rock sepulchers, they're jagged spears, and you would literally tear your body as you tried to rest, which was absolute torture. And then they have even special demons they place or blaspheming. Some of the most blasphemous things I had ever heard in my life, penetrating this person who had been sent to hell. And there's just no relief ever, no escape whatsoever. And when you die, I'm just going to share, when you die and your spiritual body steps out of that physical body, at the moment of death, you're whole. Your spiritual body will be whole. If you are suffering from any kind of diseases as a non-believer, you'd not receive Christ because your spiritual being is perfect in every way. But that doesn't last very long. You step out of that body and you already feel the evil coming for you. Wow. If you're inside, you literally will see them coming out of the floor to drag you down to the floor. If you're outside, many times they're waiting, just like your guardian angels are waiting to take you. Right. The demonic is waiting to come and get you because they own you. You gave yourself to them because you rejected Christ.
We have a video clip online on xpmedia.com of a man who died. And he describes almost identical to what you're saying, that he was escorted down this pathway by what seemed like real friendly voices and that. But the further he got down, the more evil it got, and to a point where they were beating. He was in tears when he said, I can't even describe what they did to me, but you could tell the level of abuse and probably biting and everything that went with it was horrific. You know, you might have loved ones that do not know Jesus yet. They don't know him yet, and they need to. And you might wonder, I don't want them going to that place. Or you might be watching and you might think, that's where I'm going if I were to depart from the world today. But you don't have to remain in that place. Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. He has realms of glory for you to experience for all eternity. He has realms of his goodness, realms of his love. He wants you as his very own. He wants you to experience the angels, the glory, his presence, his throne, his joy. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Call on his name. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You were made to communicate with God every moment. Order Robert Hutchkins' teaching CD, Engaging with God, and take up a lifestyle of never-ending intimacy. Visit xpministries.com to order now.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
Journey through the mystery of the kingdom and experience the tangible glory of heaven. The Glory School unpacks new creation realities, hearing the voice of God, third heaven visitation, and much more. Visit xpministries.com to purchase the Glory School now.
Have questions about heaven? Get answers in We Saw Heaven. 4 eyewitness accounts compiled by Robert Slairden. Discover the love of God anew through these breathtaking visitations to heaven and back. Visit us online at xpministries.com.
Hi, I know that you've heard amazing revelations today that I've shared about heaven, but you know God is no respecter of persons. It says in his word that it delights him to share his mysteries and his secrets with his kids, and we're all his children. And so right now, I'm just going to pray that God bring revelation to you. Father, I thank you right now for blessing your children, all those watching, God, that have now got a desire to know you more, to know more about heaven. I ask you, God, that you bless them with revelation from heaven. It delights your heart to share things with your children. So, Father, I ask you to consume them with your presence. Draw them, Holy Spirit, to know the Father, to know the Lord more. And God, I thank you for bringing revelation into their life of who you are, who they are, and what you've got planned for their lives, God. I know that you love them, and I pray that everyone will know you and be with you in eternity.